I speak to you today in the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We are beckoned back to the call of the prophets. We know this culminates with John, the last and greatest of the prophets. But what does this mean for us? A review of the prophets of the Old Testament tells us a disheartening story. In summary, when the Israelites go astray, God sends them direction through a chosen prophet. That prophet delivers God's message. But usually the people aren't happy with the message, and they often take out their displeasure on the prophet. Needless to say, they usually don't listen or follow the prophet's unpopular call. Then they get clobbered, and they cry out to God with much regret, asking him to have mercy and to come to their aid, promising to be faithful to him. Then God rescues them, and they enjoy a period of prosperity, which unfortunately often leads to yet another cycle of going astray and God raising up yet another prophet. And so this cycle repeats over and over and over again. Now, at the Advent Preaching Conference, we naturally spend some time reflecting on the role of the prophets. And this review of the Old Testament shows us that we have to acknowledge that the prophets were usually raised up for a specific time and place and with a particular message that was uniquely needed and fitting. But to coin Father Brown, the message usually had a longer shelf life. And if we could say this about any of the prophets of God, we would say it most adamantly about John the Baptist, the last and greatest of all the prophets. As we hear today, this is the one of whom Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now Isaiah lived 700 years earlier, a longer shelf life indeed. John's call in the first century and beyond is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So today we will center on one of the great Advent themes of preparation, repentance, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, these two things might seem at odds with each other, repent in the kingdom of heaven. One has us look inwards, the other beckons us out beyond ourselves. One is rooted in the flesh, the other in the spiritual realm. One stems from sin, the other from the holy. But they both have one wonderful thing in common: joy. Yes, we should approach both the kingdom of heaven and repentance with joy as our anchor. And this might not be one's usual approach, but what would our thoughts, particularly regarding repentance, look like if we approached it with joy in mind? I believe it would put us more squarely into John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. It's a word worth our deep consideration. I did a little Greek study to help us. Now, as used in Matthew, the word repent means to change one's mind. It's actually two Greek words put together, with and mind. So it's a very intentional, rational decision that someone's going to think differently afterwards or reconsider how one used to think. So how is one changing one's mind? Well, we need to get a little less rational and a little more emotional, because to repent is also to feel remorse or to feel sorry for having offended. And this remorse is what makes us want to change our minds or makes us want to think differently or even consider a different course for our future actions. Thayer's lexicon tells us it specifically means to change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Now, unfortunately, that definition doesn't make us feel too joyful, does it? No, a straight dictionary-based study of repentance doesn't lead us directly to joy. So we need to go deeper. We need to realize that our sins and our need for repentance goes much deeper for our thoughts, even if the word repent means for us to change our minds. In fact, sin and therefore repentance is more emotion-based than even logical. Think about it. No pun intended. Whenever we have realized we have sinned and we reflect on the circumstances around it, there's always a very strong emotion at the center. Perhaps it's longing or desire or pride or fear or entitlement. You see, these emotions may have a strong part, but the true emotion that has the center of all of it is actually love or lack of love. Whenever we sin, we've pushed aside God's love for us in our attempt to grab something that looks greater but is in fact even lesser. Think about the first sin we read about in the Bible. Eve ate that forbidden apple, but she did so because she thought she was seeking a greater thing. The serpent deceived her, and he told her, "You will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Who wouldn't want to be like God? Or as Scripture says, wise. And yet, hidden within that serpent's deceit was the minor detail of knowing good and evil. Perhaps one would want to know the fullness of good, but to know the fullness of evil? No one would choose to be intimate with evil. Now, before this, Adam and Eve had been protected from knowing evil by God's perfect love that gave them boundaries and gave them safety. And Adam and Eve, they lost this safety when they pushed aside God's love. And then they had to hide themselves. But do we need to hide when we've sinned? This semester, the Women's Book and Bible Study has been reading Sensible Shoes by Sharon Garlow Brown, and we're nearing the end of it. And as truth would have it, this past week we read and reflected on confession. And in the book, the leader tells the woman this. She says, "Friends, there's such freedom in being able to say, 'Yes, that's my sin,' and 'Yes, I have a Savior.' No need to hide. No need to be defensive. No need to be ashamed. No need to try to carry the burden of trying to be perfect. We have freedom to confess what's true about ourselves and receive God's grace. In self-examination, we allow God to reveal to us where we are hiding and resisting His love, so that we can come out of hiding to receive grace and mercy and wholeness. Sin is resisting God's love, and it can lead us to hiding because we've chosen what seems like more, but is actually so much less for us. And when we repent of this, when we change our minds, we come out of hiding and we reorient ourselves back to God and back to His love for us. And so at that point, we make the decision to choose the higher, choose the better, choose the more perfect and profound thing that ever is. Love. God's perfect and unconditional love. Now, I think everyone here has some idea about what love is, don't you? Some thoughts about that? Even our children, our youngest, feel profound love. And as we grow, our experience with love grows and matures, and we experience even greater love as adults than we do as children. Our friendships are deeper. Our love for our parents continues to grow. We develop special love. But as great as all of these forms of love that we can develop and experience with one another, even all of these together are only a shadow of the love God has for us. And that is why I say repentance is rooted in joy. Because when we choose God's perfect and unconditional love, then we experience this joy that has no boundaries. In fact, joy is a facet of God's love and His grace. Now, maybe you've received your December newsletter and have read my article, previewed it. But for those who haven't, let me explain. Because in that newsletter, I also offer a little Greek word study on the word rejoice, kairo. And this means to be glad and to be full of joy, but it's also directly related to the Greek word charis, which means grace. So when we think of rejoicing, we think of joyful happiness, but also grace, because that's the medium, you see. As it's used in the Bible, grace means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. And so grace is the means by which God blesses us with joy. It's how we feel His love for us. And these are His gifts to us. Even when we don't merit them, even when we've tried to hide from them, and most especially when we confess and we repent, because then we're reorienting ourselves, we're changing our direction back to choose Him. Now, recently, someone shared with me their private experience of repentance through their confession and receiving absolution. They said afterwards, they felt like running and jumping and kicking up their heels because they were so free. They felt so full of life and joy. That's what I'm speaking of. Repentance that lifts our burdens and gives us that freedom and gladness that we're built to receive and experience, the full joy of receiving God's deep love for us. John hearkens to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So this Advent, I pray you do repent if needed. Come out of hiding. Seek that joy that awaits you. Ready yourselves for the greatest gift at Christmas time, God's unbounding love for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.